Hello, and welcome to the International Soccer Podcast. Here we're doing part two of our look at the USA, and we're doing players. So we're going to kind of go through the positions. As I've said in other podcasts, the positions are a bit of a construction we use to kind of organize our discussion. But you should keep in mind that those players don't always stick to those positions, and it is a bit elusive. Hi, Connor. We're going to start with the manager.
Yeah, thanks, Kev. So the USA, the current manager since 2018 is Greg Berhalter. He was a former player for the national team with 44 caps. He previously coached Columbus Crew in the United States for 5 years, and he got his start as a full-time manager in Sweden with Hammarby. So yes, he was like I said, coached since 2018. In the 2019 Gold Cup, he took the US to the final where they lost to Mexico, but in the 2021 Gold Cup, they went all the way and were victorious.
Right. And yeah, he wasn't actually a big name for the US. I think most of the tournaments he was in, he was coming in off the bench or playing a couple of games. But a familiar name nonetheless. Let's move on to goalkeepers. And here, well, maybe I'll mention this kind of problem with the US, that it's a bit hard to know what their starting lineup is. Right now, because they've rarely been using it. They haven't had to play a lot of they haven't played a lot of World Cup qualifiers or qualification games like some of the other teams. And so I think a lot of the European-based players just haven't come over for games.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we know what the best US team looks like, because they haven't really had a ton of reasons to bring all their star players together as they would for a World Cup. And even in the Gold Cup, they often experiment, as was certainly the case in the last edition.
Well, that's a good case in point because the starter in the Gold Cup was not really on the team much beforehand, and yeah, the fact that he started was a surprise. He went in with one cap and ended up playing well. So now the issue is, do they bring him forward into these games because of that good performance?
Yeah, that's Matt Turner, the goalkeeper for the New England Revolution. Yeah, like you said, virtually no experience for the national team, but came in. I think he only conceded 2 goals in 6 games and helped the U.S. win. So it does create a bit of a problem, because certainly didn't do anything to justify losing his place. And he actually played well and made a lot of excellent saves in the tournament. Actually stood out for the U.S.
Yeah, I do think he kind of moved up in the ranking there a little bit, but we should go back to probably the first name on the list, which is Zach Steffen.
Yeah, he's has been with the team since 2018 and has 23 caps, so pretty regular for them. He plays with Manchester City. He's primarily the backup there, of course, but has also had had spells in Germany and in the United States as well. So he would be their starter, even though he doesn't play or start regularly for his club team.
Yeah, we've kind of identified these as the maybe the two most likely candidates, but there's a whole bunch of other claimants to the throne. Sean Johnson has 9 caps for the US, and he played just one of their games since the 2019 Gold Cup. He was on the roster for the 2021 World Cup, Gold Cup, as was Brad Guzan. Although they don't seem kind of a big part of the team. David Ochoa is a new goalie. Ethan Horvath has been in the mix, and Tim Howard we put there because he kind of was the starting goalie for quite a while, even coming back from retirement. and playing in 2017. He's off the team now, so they'll be looking for a first keeper. Connor, I think that might be Zach Steffen, because he played the CONCACAF Nations League semi-final and final, and I'm kind of looking at those two games as America's first team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Among the most significant games that the United States has played over the last couple of years, and one that they brought a lot of overseas players into the team for, whereas in the Gold Cup, they relied a little bit more heavily on domestic players. So I think your suspicion is right. I think we'll likely see Zach Steffen in goal for most of the Octagon games.
Right. And if that's true, I should point out that it was Ethan Horvath and David Ochoa who were the backup goalkeepers for those games. But let's move on to the defenders. And we have basically three main names to look at and then four other ones to kind of... I was trying to hold it there, but I couldn't. Four to mention. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so we'll start with Walker Zimmermann. He's been with the national setup since 2017. He's 28 years old. He plays for Nashville in the U.S. and has since 2020. They're one of the newer clubs in Major League Soccer, new expansion team. But he's played with a couple other clubs at the MLS level prior to that. Most notably Dallas, where he was for 4 years.
Yeah, he started in the 2019 Gold Cup and also in the more recent Gold Cup, but he got injured. Do you remember the play he got injured on, Connor?
I don't. Could you tell me about it?
Oh, that was... We thought it was a clear penalty for Canada because he ran into the back of a Canadian player in the box. That was the play he got injured on. Do you remember that? Shortly after America scored an early goal, Canada had a big penalty claim at around 15 minutes in.
I do recall that. It was a clear penalty in my mind. Somehow not overturned by VAR, but yeah, Zimmermann kind of took the worst of it, ended up having to leave just 15 minutes into the game, having started the first three games for the U.S. In the 2021 Gold Cup. So he didn't feature in any of the games after that.
Yeah, that's right. And actually they brought, I think we'll get to it a little down the road, but they bought Sands, a player called Sands, in as a central defender, but I don't think he's a natural central defender. Miles Robinson, on the other hand, will make a bid for a starting position. Zimmermann was in those CONCACAF final games. I'll check on that while you introduce Miles Robinson.
Yeah, he's a 24-year-old central defender, only three caps coming into the 2021 Gold Cup, but he doubled that tally by the end of the tournament, starting all six games for the U.S. en route to their final, and actually scored two goals, which is pretty impressive for someone in that position. He played with Atlanta United in the United States and has since 2017. Atlanta being quite a good team and having won the championship just a few years ago.
Yeah, and he kind of came out the hero because he scored the late goal in extra time against Mexico, which is pretty impressive for a defender. I did check on that. I thought Zimmermann was part of those CONCACAF final games. He wasn't, but Miles Robinson was, more as a substitute. And we'll take a look at a couple of players who... it was actually one down the list. Oh, sorry, I haven't put the list on our little graphic here.
Yeah, John Brooks, I think he started.
Yes, John Brooks started, and I had mentioned James Sands too, who was a defensive midfielder who came in to replace Zimmermann after he was injured. Another possible name is Aaron Long. Do you want to talk about him?
Sure, another of their MLS players. he has 21 caps for the United States, so a bit more experience than Robinson. For the Gold Cup, he played 10 of their 17 games since the end of the 2019 Gold Cup and was injured for four of those, but was not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup.
That's right, yeah. So, again, it's hard to say who the starting ones are now. To me, it looks maybe John Brooks and Miles Robinson will be the main guys. Other names in the mix are Matt Miazga. He wasn't selected for the Gold Cup, but did play five of their 17 games in the lead up, which I mean since the last 2019 Gold Cup. Omar Gonzalez is another name, but he seems to be retired now. He was a starter in 2017, more like a sub in 2019, and then not called up in 2021. And finally, I put James Sands on the list, as I've mentioned, kind of stepped in for Zimmerman, but not coded as a central defender, but rather a defensive midfielder. Shall we move on to left backs?
Yes. Yeah, I'll start with Tim Ream. He's a name that's been around the United States for a decade at least. He spent a lot of his career in England playing with Bolton and Fulham. He's been with Fulham since 2015. So he can play center back, but also shows up on the left back position as well. He played 10 of their 17 games since the 2019 Gold Cup. So a pretty regular for them, but another one not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup. And again, some of those overseas players seem to be overlooked a little bit or not selected by Coach Berhalter.
Right. Well, I've been saying that Miles Robinson, one of the central defenders we talked about above, was in the CONCACAF team for the finals. But my mistake, rather, it was this guy, Anthony Robinson, who seems to be the backup left defender.
Yeah, and is actually a teammate of Tim Ream's at Fulham. Not selected for the Gold Cup, but as you mentioned, had been involved in some important games for the United States kind of over the past couple of years.
Yeah, there's not a lot of other candidates here. Well, there are kind of a lot of names, but not really a lot challenging for a starter position. One of them is Sam Vines. He actually scored in the 2021 World Cup and played four of their six games. The next one is George Bello. He also kind of came in for those two games that Vines didn't play, but he only had one cap coming into the tournament. And then the other names on the list are Daniel Lovitz, Justin Morrow, George Villafana. Those seem to be two players or three players they were kind of experimenting with, maybe trying to find a solid backup. But all three of them seem to have really not made the grade. And none of them made the 2021 World Cup. And only Daniel Lovitz was there in 2019. The other two kind of dropped out of the picture in 2017, after 2017. So moving on to right backs, we have a couple of big names for the team. Do you want to introduce those, Connor?
Yeah, DeAndre Yedlin has kind of been around the team a lot since 2014 when he made his first appearance. He has 64 caps, another British-based player, started with Tottenham, but then really made a name for himself at Newcastle before moving to Galatasaray in Turkey in 2021. He did make appearances. He did play in the 2015 Gold Cup in 2017. Was injured, it appears, for the 2019 one, and then not selected for 2021.
Yeah, I'm surprised he has 64 caps given the number of Gold Cups he's missed. But I'm also surprised at how long he's been around since 2014. One of the players America was delighted to get, I think they stole him from the clutches of Netherlands, was Sergino Dest. How about him, Connor?
Yeah, he's just 20 or 21 years old, and is with Barcelona, having previously been with Ajax, the famous Ajax academy in the Netherlands. So yes, big hopes for him. He has 11 caps, and one goal to his name. I mean, Yedlin has kind of been, as we said, the main player holding down that right defensive position, but yes, certainly a challenger. Yeah, not selected for the Gold Cup, as we said, like many of the European players weren't, but no doubt will be involved in the octagon.
Right. I'm not necessarily a challenger for Yedlin's position because he did play right back in one of the two CONCACAF final games, but he played as a left midfielder in the other. So he may be kind of being considered for other positions. Another candidate, which is he has pretty stiff competition with those two ahead of him, but Reggie Cannon is in the mix.
Yeah, he played for Dallas for several years before moving to Boa Vista in Portugal in 2020. He's 23 years old and has 18 caps, so a pretty good number of appearances, and was involved in four of the six Gold Cup games, but three of those from the bench.
That's right. And he's got pretty stiff competition, as I said. All three of those players playing in Europe and for pretty decent teams. So Shaquel Moore, who actually started in the 2021 Gold Cup, looks not a likely candidate, which frankly I'm glad about, Connor, because he scored against Canada just 20 seconds in.
Right, that was him, fullback getting forward. Yeah, the game that proved to be the winner. I don't think in many games you have the winner scored within the first 30 seconds. Quite remarkable.
Yeah, that's right. But it does show that it wasn't their top squad for the Gold Cup. Nick Lima is another name. He was a starter in 2019, but he hasn't played over the last, well, since that Gold Cup. No, since November 2019. So again, he's a name that seems to pop up. So I don't know whether he's still in the system or not. He's not that old, just 26 or 27 years old. So his name could still be in it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to midfielders. And I know you're a big fan of Michael Bradley, Connor.
Yeah, the USA captain, or captain certainly for some of the time, who's as familiar to Canadian soccer fans, having played with Toronto FC since 2014, and helped them win the MLS title. He's been involved and pretty significantly in the US setup since making his debut in 2006. He has 151 caps to his name.
Wow.
He's still only 33 or 34, so he's actually got a few years left in him potentially.
Yeah, he's been the Gold Cup 2007 was his first competition, but I do think they kind of need his strength in the defensive midfield area. They also and actually I've kind of coded both him and Kellyn Acosta as defensive midfielders. Actually, they are central midfielders, but I definitely see Michael Bradley as more defensive. Do you, Connor?
Yeah, absolutely. Someone who likes to get the ball and start plays, but also kind of a combative player for breaking them up. And he brings a lot of leadership to his club team and to his national team as well. So I'm sure he'll have a role to play in the upcoming games.
Well, if combative is a job description for a defensive midfielder, Kellyn Acosta was always arguing in the 2021 Gold Cup, and he seemed to play that role fill Michael Bradley's boots in that tournament.
Like any good defensive midfielder, picked up a couple yellow cards as well, to be expected.
That's right. So I think those are the two main candidates. As I've said a couple of times, James Sands went to replace Zimmermann in central defence, but he actually is a defensive midfielder, so he may be part of the setup. And Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City fans were very happy to see Gianluca Busio come onto the field. He actually started as a sub and then gained a starting position, but I don't really think that's going to be enough to really give him a shoe in to that position. He's only 19 years old and has stiff competition ahead.
Yeah, Kansas City hosted a couple of the Gold Cup games, so he did get to appear before kind of his hometown crowd. He's actually eligible for Italy, so I'm sure U.S. quite happy to get him on the field and kind of lock him up. He had no caps coming into the tournament. He's just 19 years of old, so a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, well, we said Sergio Dest was a bit of a coup for the U.S., but they've also lost a few players the same way, including a Canadian forward who joined Canada. I think even during the Gold Cup, he made that decision because he kind of came in as a replacement. So young players like this are kind of sought after when they have dual or triple citizenship. And I think they were happy to get Busio. Let's move on to central midfielders, and Sebastian Leggett seems to be the top player as far as this category goes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The LA Galaxy midfielder, he's 28 years old, has 24 caps to his name. One of the players who was involved, he's involved in five of the games in the Gold Cup, but one of those who we expect to see prominently in the octagon as well.
Yeah, he was a starter in one of those two CONCACAF final games, as was Jackson UL. I'm not really sure how to pronounce his names, but he seems to be kind of up there alongside Leggett.
Yeah, didn't get as much game time during this Gold Cup, but like you said, was involved in the Nations League kind of final tournament. So obviously shows that he's someone that the U.S. would rely on in those bigger games.
Yes. Okay, and just one other name to mention is Christian Roldan. I think we talked about his brother who plays on the El Salvador team. And he came back after a two-year absence to play all seven of their games prior to the tournament. I'm mixing him up with another player. He played five of their 17 games in the lead up to the tournament and started game two in the recent Gold Cup, but then was a substitute after that. So probably not as big a shout as the two ahead. And now let's move on to left midfielders and perhaps the biggest name of all.
Sure. I'll just let you put up the names for central midfielders and left midfielders as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
While you're doing that, I will start talking about Christian Pulisic. So formerly of Borussia Dortmund, now with Chelsea, of course, a Champions League winner. I believe the first American actually to win the Champions League. Though a Canadian, Alphonso Davies, of course, beat him to the punch, so we have to bring that up. not involved in Gold Cup 2021, again, an overseas player. But we would expect to see Pulisic, one of their biggest names for the USA's biggest games.
Yeah, and we're not suggesting that he's the only American who can play on the left side, but he's kind of coded that way. But a lot of players will move around, and we saw that Sergino Dest actually played left midfield in one of those CONCACAF final games. But let's move on to right midfielders. And really the main name there is Weston McKennie.
Yeah, the youngster, 23, 24. He's been with Juventus in Italy since 2021, playing alongside the likes of Ronaldo and Chiellini, and was with Schalke in Germany for a couple of years before that. So he's a young star. He's attracting attention from a couple Premier League clubs right now, in fact. Not involved for this Gold Cup, but someone they have huge hopes for.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say vying for that position, but more of a backup for that position is Paul Areola. A bit hard to codify because he is coded as a right winger, but actually in the Gold Cups that he's played, he's appeared more on the left. But then he was on the right and even further forward for this 2021 Gold Cup.
Yeah, and both McKennie and Areola started the majority of their games in the 2019 World Cup. So there is room in the squad to play them alongside each other.
That's right, especially since they kind of move around. And I do believe they did play right alongside each other in the CONCACAF League Cup. I'll have to check on that. But, yeah. Okay, and then one name just to mention is Yunus Musa. He hasn't played any tournaments, and he just came in November 2020. But he did play six of their 10 games in the lead-up to the tournament, so it looks like he may be making his way in.
Yeah, he was eligible to play for the USA, but also Ghana, England, and Italy.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of options. So, again, in that ongoing kind of struggle to attract these players with multiple eligibilities, this was one that Musa choosing the United States over some other countries.
Yeah, and England by dint of being at the Arsenal Academy. So he's got some good background there. I just merged left and right wingers there with the midfielders. As I say, they kind of move around a lot. So a lot of the guys we've talked about can play on the wing, can and do play on the wing. But we've gone through the main midfielders, so we're going to move on to the forwards. And we'll begin with two players that actually didn't play in the attacking midfielders. Two players that didn't play in the Gold Cup. Giovanni Reyna and Brendan Aaronson. I think maybe we should talk a little bit about Giovanni Reyna because he was a starter in both of those CONCACAF final games.
Yeah, a teenager. He has eight caps to his name, but has scored four goals and played in those big Nations League games for them. And he's got a good pedigree. He's the son of Claudio Reyna. Claudio Reyna had over 100 caps for the United States. Comes by it honestly. He's been with Borussia Dortmund in Germany since 2020.
Right, so that's pretty good pedigree for him. The other I'll just mention is Brendan Anderson. He's with Red Bull Salzburg in Austria, and he came in the beginning of 2020 and has played seven of their 11 games. So, again, he hasn't been in any tournaments, but maybe someone to look for in the future. We kind of skip over secondary strikers and take a good batch of general forwards to look at. But again, a lot of these guys can play as secondary strikers. And we have another Toronto player in Josie Altidore. So that's a bit your area of expertise, Connor.
Yeah, another big name for the United States, like Michael Bradley, over 100 caps to his name, 42 goals as well. But he's made his living in Canada for almost as long as Bradley, since 2015. He also had some spells overseas in a couple different countries, actually, in Spain, in England, with both Hull and Sunderland, as well as in the Netherlands. Over the past couple years, he has been, you know, probably the leading striker for the United States, not always in the squad, sometimes through injury. But just in terms of caps and goals, he would probably be kind of the main player that the U.S. has relied on over the past little while. The first tournament he appeared in was actually the Olympics in 2008, but has appeared in Confederations Cup, World Cups, Gold Cups, Copa America Centenario. So he's been around the team for a long time.
Yeah, people who just know him from the EPL will maybe have a bad impression because he didn't seem to hit his stride there, but certainly when Toronto won the MLS title, he was kind of at his best, and he has had kind of periods of being very good. Next on the list is Josh Sargent. He was the starter in both of those CONCACAF final games, so although he didn't play in the 2021 Gold Cup, I think he may be their main guy because Altidore is on the way out. Maybe you can just talk about that comment about Altidore before moving on to Josh Sargent, Connor.
Yeah, I think with Altidore, he's a player who's now into his 30s, slowing down a little bit for Toronto FC as well. I think it's likely that, especially if the U.S. Does well in the octagon and is able to kind of use some players, especially towards the end, I think we may not see Altidore as much. He was their leading goal scorer in World Cup 2018 qualification, but there's so many players that the U.S. has to choose from in this position. It remains to be seen what role he has, so he'd, of course, be a useful player to draw on from the bench.
Yeah, possibly so, with so many games afoot. How about Josh Sargent, though? He seems kind of more likely.
Yeah, he's just 21 years old, and fans of the English Premier League will get to see him soon as he moved just over the summer, actually in the last couple weeks, from Werder Bremen in Germany to Norwich City. So yeah, we'll get to see how he does in the Premier League. 21 years old, but 16 caps already, 5 goals. Whether he'll be their main man going forward, yet to be seen, but yeah, certainly a player. He's played some big games for them already. Was not involved in the 2021 Gold Cup, but likely to be involved in the Octagon.
Right, and a lot of what you just said about Josh Sargent is true of Timothy Way. I don't know. I think it's pronounced Timothy Way or Weah. He's the son of the great George Weah from Liberia.
Yes, opting to play for the United States. Like Josh Sargent, just 21 years old, also plays overseas. He's been with Lille in France since 2019, so was part of the Lille team that won the Ligue 1 or Ligue 1 title last year.
Right, and he was with Paris Saint-Germain before that, so he's got quite a bit of pedigree too. The last one we'll look at is Tyler Boyd. He seems to be off the team, judging by the fact that he hasn't played a game since November 2019, and yet I've heard his name come up in podcasts. Do you want to just quickly tell us about him?
Yeah, a player who spent most of his career overseas, most recently with Beşiktaş in Turkey. He was involved in Gold Cup 2019, starting 3 of their games, but not involved in the 2021 Gold Cup.
Right, and I said he was the last one, but I lied. It's Jordan Morris who's the last one. But similar to Boyd, he seems to be off the team and also hasn't played since November 2019.
Yeah, domestic player, plays with Seattle Sounders in the United States. A very successful Seattle Sounders team over the past 5 years since he's been there. Like Boyd, involved in Gold Cup 2019, starting a handful of their games, also involved in Gold Cup 2017, but overlooked for this version.
Right. And finally, we have a couple of players who put in a bid due to their performances in the 2021 Gold Cup. One of them is Daryl Dyke, who plays for Barnsley. I think he's on loan, or he was on loan. Do you know about that?
Yeah, he was on loan at Barnsley in the second half of the 2020-2021 championship season. But he played incredibly well. He scored a ton of goals for Barnsley and actually was part of a Barnsley team that moved up from bottom half of the table before around Christmas to playoffs by the end of the season. And Daryl DK, I think it's pronounced. He was a big part of that, scoring just a ton of goals for them.
Right, thanks. Yeah, so he may have earned himself consideration. Giassi Zardes is always kind of on the fringes, never really a starter except for the 2016 Copa Centenario. But he also scored two goals, just like DK in the Gold Cup. And finally, Matthew Hopp scored a goal. Again, not really part of the setup before the 2021 tournament, but now maybe a consideration.
Yeah, Matthew Hopp, or Hoppy perhaps. He's with Schalke in Germany. He's only 20 years old. He did score one goal, the winning goal in their quarterfinal match against Jamaica. And I think there's big things expected of him. I think there's some interest from other clubs in Europe, including possibly the Premier League. So, yeah, at 20 years old, great experience for him. He was involved in five of their six games at the 2021 Gold Cup. And perhaps of all the players, just given his young age, maybe someone who actually does work himself into the squad, if not the starting lineup.
Well, given that attackers are substituted in a bit more, I think there's a bit more room for them to move into positions as opposed to someone like central defenders, where it tends to be the same steady players over and over, kind of hard to break into that. We'll finish with just one name, Jordan Sebaciu. He's with Young Boys in Switzerland, and he joined the team in March 2021 and went on to play all of their six games prior to the tournament. So it looks like he is an up-and-comer.
Right. So, yeah, with the United States, like we said, the Gold Cup included some players who didn't have a lot of experience, a lot of overseas players to come in. I think an interesting thing about the United States is it's been a while since they played a lot of competitive games. Usually for the United States, you would kind of look to their past World Cup to see kind of who are the biggest names. But with the U.S. failing to qualify for the 2018 World Cup, we kind of don't have that reference point. Gold Cup's always being a little bit more experimental, and the Nations League just being such a new tournament is kind of difficult to establish trends. So, yeah, probably more difficult than in past years to predict the United States lineup, but it's certain that they have a lot of players to choose from.
Yeah, I'm sure when the World Cup qualifiers come around, our template will prove a little bit flawed, as you said, partly because a lot has changed and they haven't really played their best team. And then new players may come in who aren't even on this list, but I think the qualifiers will definitely see them putting out their best players, so we can kind of test this template against the lineups that we see.
Absolutely.
All right, well, that's it for our look at the USA team, so thanks for going over these players with me, Connor.
Pleasure as always.
Okay, and we will see you in our next podcast.